Chapter 4. The night before, as they were cleaning up the last of the scorch marks left behind by Charlie tossing the skillet in a panic when it caught fire, Adam told her about the reason he had left the diner in such a hurry. Sometimes, when he marked a target, or even multiple, as was the case on the night they met, was within a certain range of him, his hunter instinct will kick in, causing him to develop a nearly insatiable bloodlust, at least until the target was dead. And oftentimes, it lingered, which, in his own words, fucking blows, man. Charlie had listened with rapt attention, completely fascinated by the thought of being driven by bloodlust. In hell, as far as she knew, this was usually only experienced by hellhounds, since they were created during a time when some of the other royals were bored and wished to make trouble for humans. That was about as much as she remembered. If only she had paid more attention. Her hands had stopped scrubbing when she finished processing what he had just said.
"So you didn't get them. Is that what you're trying to tell me?"
Adam rolled his eyes and reached over to pinch her cheek, but she ducked it just before he could.
"Piss off, perv."
Clicking his tongue, he flipped her off instead and resumed wiping the counter.
"What I was saying is that whomever it was barely a step in range and they quickly left it. It fucking sucks. Whatever. We sleep tonight, and tomorrow, we're gonna find this fucker. No one escapes my judgment. No one."
And so here she was, facing a soon-to-be sinner, their eyes open wide in fear as they came to a stop in front of her. Adam had told her that he wanted to see what she could do, so he was going to set up her prey, drive them towards her on some fake timer, because either way, this person's time was up.
"Should be fucking grateful they had another day to live,"
he spat just before spotting them. Lucky for them, the target had chosen this night to have a stroll near a heavily wooded area.
"Go wait on the other side. They'll find you. Trust me."
She did as he instructed her, following a path he had pointed out that was the shortest way to get to the side he wanted her on. While she waited, Charlie looked at her phone, frowning at some of the texts, demanding that she answer, that she come back home, where was she, and all that. Normal, overprotective dad things. Just something to pass the time until finally she heard them crashing through the foliage, just as Adam said they would do. They had called out to her, warning her about Adam, that they needed help. However, it wasn't salvation they would get from her. It seemed that they suddenly understood, too, as they wrung their hands, despair apparent in their eyes. Sighing, Charlie lifted her right arm, sparks of red and gold magic crackling at her fingertips. Her claws elongated, and she advanced towards them, her mouth drawn in a tight line.
"Time's up."
They dropped to their knees, tears and snot running down their face, wailing to be spared. There really wasn't anything personal against them. This was just so she can have a place to stay. Even though she truly felt nothing for them, she felt she still had to say something.
"Hell is scary, you know. Try not to die too often."
With that, Charlie swiped at them, cleaving into their collarbone. They screamed loudly, trying to crawl away from her, their blood dripping to the ground below. That will be a problem. For some reason, Adam couldn't clean any blood that was spilled by her. Even he couldn't explain it. She should have been a little more delicate. Too late now, though. They were trying to get away, but she managed to snag their leg quite easily and drag them back towards her, ignoring all their cries and screams. With a flick of her wrist, they were flipped onto their back, and she appraised the view. Well, damn. Those other guys had been easier. Maybe it was because she had been feeling more emotional then? She tried to recall the feelings, but this person's whimpers made it really hard to focus on that. Narrowing her eyes, Charlie stuck her hand into the wounds she'd already made, this time dragging her claws harder down to their chest, their flesh opening as if she was cutting through paper.
"Keep it down. I'm not done yet."
Maybe she should have done it the same way as two nights ago, but now that she knew this was actually a sinner, it kind of fascinated her. In hell, since damnation was forever, sinners cannot die. they can be killed over and over again until eventually they are absorbed into the very fabric of hell itself. Here on Earth, they only live once. Here, they could experience the good in mankind instead of only the evil. It made her feel a little envious that they could experience so many wonderful things, and yet the road they chose ultimately led them here. To Adam. To her. Wasted their free will on wickedness and sin. Their blood had now completely coated her hand, but at least they had stopped screaming. Kind of hard to make any noise when there's a claw digging into their chest cavity. Just garbled nonsense as blood dribbled out of their mouth. She frowned and withdrew her hand, wondering if she should just let them bleed out. No, better to end this quickly. It wasn't like her to be so cruel, after all. Charlie wasn't sure if the sinner could hear her anymore, but she smiled.
No hard feelings, okay?
She extended her arm once more, this time digging right into their chest, through bone and sinew to get at the heart that was trying to work overtime, but also very clearly was starting to slow down. Amazing how humans struggle to stay alive, even in their final moments. She squeezed. By the time Adam joined her, the sinner had finally drawn their last breath, and Charlie had sat herself down by a tree, legs crossed, chin resting on her hand. The demon hunter took one look at the sinner, and then at her, and slowly clapped his hands.
Well, damn. I admit to doubting a little, but you actually did it.
He chuckled, twirling the axe in his hands like it was nothing but a child's toy. She kept a wary eye on it as she stood up, dusting the seat of her shorts and tucking her hair behind her ear. He paid her no mind as she drew closer, eyes darting between him and the sinner. He was too preoccupied in examining the corpse, eyes narrowing at the amount of damage she had caused. He gave her a brief glance, raising a pierced eyebrow.
Didn't do it in one shot like last time? What gives? They say something?
Charlie shook her head and crouched next to him, her finger prodding at the blood-soaked ground beneath them.
No, I didn't try.
She really hadn't. Since they had never done anything to her personally, she didn't feel as strongly as she had for the other two.
So, how is it that this is a sinner? You told me that you can see what they really are. Yet they just look like any other ordinary human to me.
There was nothing about them that stood out in particular. A perfectly normal human body with normal human proportions. Sure, they were a little on the heavier side, but nothing too out of the ordinary. She's lived amongst sinners, and most, if not all, barely resembled their mortal selves anymore. Beside her, Adam gently tutted at her, for a moment placing a hand on top of her head and ruffling her hair a bit, which she tensed at. He didn't seem to notice, using his other hand to move over the sinner's body.
You'll see. You didn't get to last time since we were a little concerned about other things. Anyway, here.
At first, she didn't see anything. Too hyper-focused on the hand resting on her head, it felt different. Warm. And now he dropped it down to her back, then to her shoulder to pull her closer to him, and Charlie just let it happen. It took a few more moments, but gradually Charlie could see a sliver of golden light enveloping her, and her eyes flicked towards the sinner again. Before her, she saw the features shift and change, clawed hands resembling those of a lizard or perhaps a bird, she couldn't quite tell just yet, their skin taking on a more bluish hue. A large X where she had dug out their heart covered their chest, and their head had become much like that of a rooster. Adam released her, and the human resumed its normal looks. With a sigh, he stood up as she pondered over this phenomenon.
This is what I see when a human becomes tainted. They're far too gone to be saved, too steeped in sin to be redeemed.
But then,
they would have ended up in hell regardless.
Charlie muttered and moved away from the body. Taking in a short breath, she closed her eyes and tried to concentrate on her unholy powers. But before she could, Adam was gripping her shoulder, squeezing it to get her attention. Aggravated, she opened her eyes to glare at him, but he shook his head.
I'll take care of it. You mind grabbing my case? Left it back in there.
Really? The nerve of this guy. Scoffing at him, Charlie crossed her arms, cocking a hip to the side.
And why should I? I'm perfectly capable of doing this, but you interrupted me.
A second ticked by.
Again.
It wouldn't be as clean as his method. The amount of times she had to clean up bodies, in hell, could be counted on one hand.
No, I don't think so. You can stay and we'll get it together, but I have to be the one to do this because, well, I can't say for sure what will happen if you do it. And it's faster, so be a doll, okay?
He flashed her a smile that would probably have caused a lesser woman to swoon on her feet. Good thing she wasn't one of those, even if he was handsome.
It just bothered her that he had a point. So, throwing up her hands, Charlie stalked off, leaving him to his own devices as she tracked down the damn guitar case.
After she had disappeared out of his sight, Adam finally allowed himself to breathe properly. The angelic blood flowing through his veins had also calmed down somewhat now that this poor fucker was dead. One would think that after living for so long that he'd get used to it. But no, it never got any easier. It was like constantly having to walk on eggshells. With more humans populating the world, he felt like he was drowning. It didn't matter how many he killed, there was always another. And another one after that. Non-stop. And this is why he had reached out to Charlie, despite her not knowing a damn thing. It finally felt like he could breathe easier. After seeing her that night, two bodies on the floor at her feet, it stirred something in him that he couldn't name. Running a hand through his hair, the demon hunter took another look at the sinner and grimaced. Sure, Charlie got the job done, but fuck if it wasn't super messy, at least compared to when they met. Wasn't like they couldn't work on that if needed. For now, there was still this mess to clean up. A flash of gold light from his fingertips, and the body disintegrated. Again, there was nothing he could do about the spilled blood, but despite this being so close to the town, it was secluded enough to be overlooked. And fortunately for him, there was supposed to be some rain coming later in the week, and he doubted anyone would come across this spot anytime soon.
I'd say rest in peace, but after all you've done, you don't deserve it. What you did to your partner...
He scowled and turned away.
I know you'll find your comeuppance down there.
He'd only walked a few feet when he felt his phone go off in his pocket. Balancing his axe on his forearm, Adam retrieved it and checked the caller ID, only to groan. Damn it.
Yeah? Oh, danger tits, hey.
Tell me to go find his case. Do this, do that, blah, blah, blah.
Charlie snapped off a branch that was blocking her path and waved it around as if it was a baton, her face all scrunched up from annoyance. How far did Adam push that sinner to run? It wasn't long since she started searching, but so far, she hadn't spotted any signs of his dumb guitar case. Why was he carrying that anyway? Did he play? That made her pause in her tracks. Huh. Guess that would be the one thing they had in common. She'd always loved music since she was a child. Her mother, Lilith, had always held her in her lap when she was younger, singing to her the loveliest of songs. The memory made her smile, and she started to hum to herself as she continued her search. Moments later, she came across a small clearing, and given the many crushed plants and broken branches, this was probably the spot. Squinting through the dark, Charlie began looking more earnestly, moving leaves and branches out of the way until, finally, she spotted the case leaning against a tree. Why would he leave this behind? It wasn't the first time, either. The memory of being ditched at the diner still fresh on her mind. Maybe his weird hunter thing, whatever it was, made him lose sight of certain things? Tilting her head, Charlie picked up the case, noticing that it was much lighter than the previous day. Weird. Looking around to make sure she was still alone, she groped around the case to find the latches holding it closed. It took a few seconds, but she finally found them, and with a triumphant grin, she began to undo one and...
What are you doing?
Her hand stopped, and she quickly turned around, moving the case behind her.
Fuck. Caught red-handed. Nothing. Getting your case just like... What the fuck is that?
Adam was there, hand on his hip after having tucked away his phone, and leaning ever so casually on his axe that was definitely a lot bigger than she remembered it being. She had only caught a brief glimpse of it before they entered the woods, but she was sure it had been small enough to not look suspicious. But what he was carrying now couldn't possibly be the same one. If she stood next to it, she was certain it would reach her collarbone. He looked amused and walked over, taking the case from her and opening it. It was empty. Had he really just sent her all the way back here for an empty case? Why? What was the point of lugging that thing around if... Oh... Looking back at his weapon, Charlie felt like kicking herself for not realizing sooner. Placing the axe inside, he gave it a loving pat and looked at her.
This is judgment.
It even had a name?
You named your axe?
She watched as he closed the case and slung it over his shoulder, giving her the smuggest smile he'd given her since meeting him.
I've named a lot of things. Don't worry about it.
Why are you carrying it in a guitar case? How did you make it so small? What?
Charlie found a finger being pressed to her lips. She tried to bite it, but Adam had already withdrawn his hand as if he'd been able to read her mind.
One, because it's fucking cool, he counted off his fingers. And two, makes it easier to carry around, and three, I'll show you when we get home.
He motioned for her to follow him and didn't even bother to wait for her. Frowning, Charlie grumbled and crossed her arms. She really wanted to know, too. And even though his place wasn't too far, the fact that she had to wait pissed her off just a little. Why can't he just tell her now? Letting out an exasperated sigh, Charlie went after him, but not before casting one last look in the direction where the sinner had last drawn breath. The walk home felt like it took forever, but eventually they got there. Not even one step inside, and Charlie was already on the sofa, eagerly anticipating what it was Adam wanted to show her. This was the most animated he'd ever seen her, and it was really fucking cute. Setting down his case, Adam stretched and yawned before setting himself down across from her, pulling the case to his lap so he could open it again. Charlie's eyes widened once she realized that what was laying inside was no longer his axe, but a guitar. Picking judgment up, Adam ran his fingers over the strings almost lovingly and hoisted the guitar up to his lap. Leaving her seat to get a closer look, the blonde demoness marveled at the instrument.
So, it's an axe and a guitar? Can you play it?
Can I play? Babe, look at me. Of course I can play it.
He genuinely looked insulted at the mere thought that he wouldn't be able to play his own damned instrument. His fingers plucked a few strings, not in any particular melody, just simple chords. Closing his eyes, he took a deep breath before shooting Charlie a challenging glare.
Give me a song. I'll play it for you.
Putting a finger to her lips, she fell silent, as if she was really thinking hard about it. He noticed how one of her cheeks twitched, and he wondered if she was biting it. Finally, she gave him a small smile and put her hands together, the fingertips tapping together.
How about the, Freebird solo?
Oh, now she was talking. He happily obliged her, his fingers easily sliding into position to play the required notes. He watched as Charlie became fully enraptured with his performance, and he couldn't help but smile as he too lost himself to the music. Once he was finished, she requested different songs, only two which he had to look up, but managed to play through. It was after he hit the final note to Wonderwall that a thought occurred to him. She was still watching him, or rather, how his hands moved over judgment. Clearing his throat, he leaned over to her.
Want to give it a try? You've been watching her more than me. It almost makes me feel a little bit jealous, girly.
Charlie blinked, as if she had been knocked out of a trance, and she sat back in her seat, teeth sinking into her bottom lip. A pretty little red blush decorated her cheeks, and she laughed nervously.
Ha ha ha! You'd really let me? You trust me with your axe or guitar so easily?
Was she implying that she could activate the angelic power that lay dormant in Judgment? Drumming his fingers along Judgment's side, he sized her up. She had proven to be quite strong, however...
Yeah, because you can't wield Judgment in her other form. She was made specifically for me, and can only be used in that way by me. No one else. Pretty awesome, huh?
He held the guitar out for her to take, still grinning.
Of course, see if you can do it. I'd love to see you try.
She couldn't anyway. So, what was the harm?